right now. Sit down. It's kind of like, oh my goodness. Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning to be able to speak. You know, when Mother's Day is kind of coming along, I'm like, got my phone out and I'm writing little things down every Sunday. So a couple of months ago, I started writing things down. And you know, then you get kind of up towards the date and I'm like, oh, I don't know, should I really talk about this or that or whatever? But you know what really happened was, you know, you got to go to Facebook and check things out. So I'm on Facebook and I saw really one thought that somebody wrote, and I saw Judy Elwell talk about memories on Facebook. And then Ryan called me yesterday and he told me about somebody he met on Adopt-A-Block. And they told him memories about my family, my dad, and whatever. And I thought, Lord, you're so cool because you kind of gave me that confirmation. You continued to give me the confirmation and to give me encouragement for the word that I believe he has today for every single one of us, including me. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that the words that I speak will be ones from you, Lord, and they'll touch each person's heart, maybe in an individual way, Lord, but I pray that there'd be something that each person can leave with and remember. So my message today is memories between the dash. Making memories. We all have memories. We have good memories. And, you know, every single one of us has not so good memories. But today I'm going to challenge you as a grandma, a mom, a mother-in-law, and as your friend. Because you can think this message is only for mothers and it's Mother's Day, but if you think that, you've really totally missed it today. Because it's a message for the youngest and to the oldest. Because every day we're making memories. They're gifts that we leave for the future. If I can use that as an analogy. As I read Facebook, I smiled when I read a message from Josh Atho, which is Amanda's youngest brother. Amanda's mom was very good to Garrett when we were younger and the kids were playing in her pool. And you know, when you work sometimes full time, you just don't take time to simmer down and just relax. And you could always go over to Lori's house and she was gracious. I sat in the lawn chair, sat by the pool, and Garrett played with Josh. So to me, this was a really special memory. Josh wrote on Facebook, he said, "We didn't realize that we were making a memory. We just thought we were having fun." And I thought, that is so cool. I don't think I would have, even 20-some years old, I don't think I would have thought that. So I'm going to challenge you and bring just a couple of thoughts today. I'm not foolish enough to think that every single person that's sitting here has the most cheerful, happy, go lucky, everything was perfect memories. None of us do. If you talk to every single person here, I guarantee you they would have some memories that were not so good, some things that they just didn't want to remember. But you know, today, right now, today on Mother's Day, you have every opportunity to make a memory. And they can all be memories for the future. You can leave deposits on people on purpose. And it'd be just special gifts to them when they think back. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, "A merry heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." Let's remember that to make our face cheerful for other people. What's the best way to remember something? Well, nowadays, we take our phone out and we take a picture of anything we want. We take a selfie. We do all sorts of things, and then they pop back. Like 2011, and all of a sudden this picture comes back up, and you're like, man, I didn't remember that. That was so cool. I remember my grandkids. Look at how big they are. Wow. Oh, I remember that vacation. We all have those things, but in our minds, every single person here has pictures. We have memories that we take around with us every day. I remembered this crazy thing when I put this message together. I grew up on a farm, and at our farm, all the hired men lived there. So when you had dinner, you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Every single meal you had tons of people that ate food, which means you had to peel potatoes, you had to make food, you had to bake, you had to cook. It was like a special event every meal. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, thank goodness I don't have to do that for every single meal. But that's just the way life was. So I made this cake. I was probably 8 or 9 or 10 or something. So I made this cake, and I thought it was really awesome, you know. We sat down at dinner time and cut the cake for everybody. So all the hired men, my grandmother was always there, my mom, dad, everything. And they're eating this cake, and I'm like, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody gave this terrible look and everything. Not my dad. He just kept eating his cake. I put a cup of salt in it instead of a cup of sugar. So all the guys and, you know, not my grandmother either. She would never say anything bad. So they're all eating it, and they go, Andy, you know, how could you eat that? Why? Why wouldn't I want to eat that cake? You'd have to know my dad. Why wouldn't I want to eat that cake? Of course I want to eat that cake. I want to encourage her because I'm going to be the recipient of all those good meals that she's going to learn to make. So he felt it was his duty to eat that cup of salt cake. But I remember that's a crazy memory. And I did learn to cook. He did eat that cake. We had memories of moving to Seattle. We went through some really tough, challenging time, 3,000 miles away, and we didn't know a single person. But in my memory banks now, when I think of it, I think backwards, and I think, gosh, God was so faithful to us. We seriously could have been homeless. And I'm not talking like, it was like instantaneously Marty wasn't being paid, and we were living in this fancy-dancy condo that I grew up on a farm. And this place was amazing, and I loved it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my gosh, we have to pay the rent. And so we learned to group together as a family. We learned to face tough times. And we learned how to get out of our comfort zone. But it taught us how in tough times, when you're out of your tough zone, you have to stick together and you have to trust God. Because, you know, what else do you do when you go through tough times? Pretty much you trust God. You can trust in your friend, your husband, your whatever, but when you're going through tough times, you really have to believe in God. And sometimes all you have to hang on to is just your faith. So what I saw and what God taught me was he was faithful. You read about it in the Bible, but he taught me that. He taught me that God was the light unto our path. And he ordered our steps. Just like it says in the Bible, it's crazy. It's exactly what he did. God taught us a lesson. We are much wiser from our past memories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Memories. Recently, when I broke my foot, Marty was being real nice to me, and he brought me flowers, and he went to Tops. He bought me flowers, and he bought me cheese, he brought me crackers, he brought me snacks. I was like, man, he brought me all this food, and I don't really need to eat all this food. But when he opened the packet of cheese, I was like instantly thought of my grandfather. I'm like, man, that is such stinky cheese. And I thought of my grandfather sitting in his chair because every night he had crackers and cheese. That was, I don't know, his thing. And he had this big old spittoon. I don't know if anybody remember grandparents had those, sat with this big old spittoon. And he was kind of like grumpy and gruff. Like Marty is like the soft kind. The kids all tickle, you know, they want to tickle him. He tickles them. My grandfather wasn't like that. When I was a kid, I used to think, he's so grumpy all the time and whatever. And he wasn't a religious man. He never once ever went to church. Now, my grandmother wanted to go to church every time the door opened. She never drove a car, ever. And so that man would take her to church and pick her up from church, take her to church and pick her up. Now, church used to be like the whole week was missionary week. So you went to church every night to missionary week. You went to evangelistic week. You went to church all week. You went to church Sunday morning. You went to church Sunday night. So that man picked her up and dropped her off and picked her up and dropped her off, and never once did I ever hear him complain about it. So when I was a kid, I was kind of embarrassed about him. He drove the truck so slow. It was from Clinton Street where the farm was up to the little church. And when he'd get mad at people because there'd be lines of cars behind him, he would pull off to the side and he would wave them all by and get all upset. So it took us a long ways to get to church, just it was a short distance. But now when I remember him, I don't remember so much his grouchiness and his demeanor and whatever. I remember his sacrifice, his strength. And although I didn't see this when I was a child, I see him as being kind. And you know, the truth is, when I thought about this message, I see him through mature eyes. I don't see him through immaturity. God shows us many lessons, but sometimes those lessons actually take us years to understand what they are. So memories. I remember this recent memory with my lovely Miss Judah. All the kids stayed over. It was Gabriel and Judah and James, and Ben and Amanda went away. So I had the grandkids, and oh my gosh, laugh. Like Amanda goes, this is what my house is like every day. The grandkids just make me laugh. They're teenagers. They say things. They say things to one another. They pick on me terrible, and I let them. And so it was so much fun for the weekend. Other kids were doing things, so I said to Judy, you want to go to Aldi's with me? And she said, yep. So we got in the car, and we went up and picked up. We had to. And on the way back, I looked to the right, and I'm like, Grandview Cemetery, I haven't been there in so long because I had a memory. I didn't want to go there because that was where my parents were buried and whatever. But I thought, you know what? If I don't drive in there, you know, will I ever teach my grandkids like I was taught? I was taught to go there, to pull the weeds, to water the plants. I knew exactly where my great-grandparents, my grandparents were buried. And I drove in there, and you know what? In my memory, I couldn't even remember where it was. So I stopped the car. We both got out, looked around, and I'm like, it's by a tree here someplace. I couldn't find it. Got back in the car, drove down a little bit farther, got out of the car. So it took us, what, three times to find where it was. And finally we got out, and Judah said, oh, there's the big monument that says Breckenridge. And I said, yep. So we looked at my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my mom and dad, and I taught her about how we used to go and where the water spigot was and, you know, things that I hadn't thought of in years. I hadn't been there. I don't even know if I ever took my kids there, maybe once. But in my memory, you know what else we talked about? We talked about where they were. Where was my mother and father? And they're in heaven, and that we'd see them again. And that is our hope. I want them to be raised to know the hope of heaven. I want them to know that there's an afterlife. I want them to know and be taught that our life is like a vapor. We're here today, and we may be gone tomorrow. But what is the hope that we have? We have that hope in eternal life. What if I don't pass that down to my grandkids? What if I don't teach them that? I'm going to challenge you, because every single one of you, starting on Mother's Day today, 2018, You have that opportunity to teach your children and your grandchildren. Because you know what? It doesn't last for a generation. It lasts generationally. So I give you that. One of the memories that I have was my dad when he passed away. My dad was diagnosed with colon cancer. He had surgery, went right back to driving bus. He had quiet dignity. He was content. He was content with very little when he could have had more. He was very content. And he continually trusted the Lord. No matter what the end was, Dad left me with an incredible memory of that. This helped me when I faced cancer. Because the memories that we create, we're teaching people things. He taught me how to face life's challenge. with strength, dignity, and trust in the Lord. As hard as it might seem, we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. As hard as that might seem in many situations, Titus says, I do have a hope of eternal life. And I pray that all of you have that hope of eternal life. I'm going to share with you one of the greatest lessons that I learned when I faced cancer, and that was compassion. I'm a very get the job done and don't complain about it and get busy person. My kids are like, get to work. So they know their mother. I'm very much like that. And so sometimes for me, it was hard probably to stop and to show compassion. Listen, I would make you a pot of soup and deliver it. I would make the pie. I would ever. But to have compassion sometimes is to see what other people see. And no one can tell you to be compassionate. They can't say you have to be compassionate. Sometimes that lesson is taught by your personal experience. There is a sisterhood of women that when they found out that I had cancer, I had phone calls, I had people that I hadn't seen in many, many years contact me. I had people that I used to work with at St. Jerome's. I had people, nurses. I had people that would just stop and say, hey, I heard you had cancer. I have that. I had that so many years ago. There's a great sisterhood in that type of disease. But I challenge you, too, there should be compassion for every single person, because every single one of you have gone through something that I guarantee somebody else needs you to show compassion to them. I found friends that I didn't know I had. I found help from people I didn't realize were even there for me. And I found a real peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of getting the big C diagnosis, going through surgery, treatments, and many times being alone and scared, I was also pampered. I was waited on. I was cared for and loved beyond measure by those around me. Look for the rainbow in your situation. There's one there. You just, maybe today you can't see it, but I guarantee tomorrow you will see it. Look in the memory banks of your mind, and you'll see something beautiful. Your memory bank is the time that you have to spend with people that you'll never get that gift back. I think of the gift of time with my grandkids. They all played baseball at one time or another. And that was when I was having my chemo treatments. So I put my ball cap on because I had no hair, my favorite black ball cap. And I put on my sunglasses and took my red folding chair and went to the games and sat there and watched those ball games. Because all I had was time. I didn't have to go to work. I didn't have anything pressing. I was home all the time. I think one of the greatest gifts that I had when I had cancer was I didn't have to work. I didn't have anything I had to do. It was like a gift of time that God gave me. I spent time with Marty. Every chemo treatment, he took me out to eat wherever I wanted to go, because sometimes you don't feel like eating or you can't eat. But after I had chemo, right after the chemo treatment, I was hungry and I wanted to go eat. So I got to go any place I wanted for lunch. That's a great memory. We also went on trips that we probably shouldn't have gone on. I'm not sure that everybody was really happy with that. But, you know, the one doctor, she's like, yes, go ahead, do that, do this. And I was like, yes. So Marty would take me on little trips, and I have those really wonderful memories. I don't have memories as bad as probably you'd think, where your fingernails are almost falling out. You have terrible sores on your hands. There's many things that can go wrong when you have cancer. I don't have those memory banks anymore. I have the good things. And you know one thing that I have? These bracelets are memories to me, because every chemo treatment, Marty had a box. And inside that box was a beautiful bracelet. And he would give it to me. Now, he was no good when I was having the chemo. So We would tell him that he had to go get his coffee at Starbucks because he was no good. We got him out of the room and finished the job, and he came back with coffee for the nurses and me and everybody else. But those are the memories I have. And I know some of you are faced with challenges here. Think about the things that get you through that. Think about God's faithfulness. Think about your memories. Think about how you saw people face challenges and what happened with them. Continue to pray. Continue to be mindful that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. It's not that dark. I know it might seem like, but you have this hope, and this hope is in heaven. Be compassionate to one another. Teach each other. Teach your grandkids. You know, I guarantee you when I was teaching Judah, I said, you know, I won't always be here with you. I hate when you say that. That's the truth, though. I want her to know that Nani wants her to understand and learn things. I want to leave her those little gifts along the way. Now I have to do two things at once, and my iPad's kind of gone by. Hold on just a second. I want to read something to you because the message was memories between the dash. So I'm going to read this dash poem. I thought this was absolutely beautiful and such something that every single one of us can learn from. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth, and spoke of the following dates with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent here on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live in love, and how we spent our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can be rearranged. If we could just slow down to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in your lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and wore a smile more often, remembering that this special dash might only last a while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said and how you spent your dash? I just want to tell you that we have the greatest opportunity right now to live our life starting today and give each person memories to last a lifetime.
Would you clarify that? Thank you. You said when you were receiving chemotherapy, you said Marty was no good. He was no... Can you, like, I wasn't out sitting in a bar somewhere, right?
No, he would sit in his... I would sit here in this big old chair, and we'd be, you know, doing our thing, and he would be over there just crying so hard. I just felt so bad for him, and the nurse did too, and we'd look at each other after the first start of the treatment. They're so wise and they're so smart. We just sent him off for coffee, so we did that every treatment so that he would just go get coffee and kind of give us a little reprieve because he just couldn't handle having the chemo.
Thank you. What a beautiful day. Moms, I love you. You're beautiful. Every single one of you. You're incredible. Today is, like Patty said, it's a It's a great opportunity for some of you to realize what you have right now. I know some have gone, you've lost terrible, but so painful. But thank God for eternal life. Thank God for the promise of heaven today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, before you leave today, we're going to have some folks down here. In fact, the prayer people, if you just come on up here now, we're going to close. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you go today. Don't wait. Don't wait until, you know, it's too late. Do it now. Do it today. Just come down and see one of these folks today. Say, will you pray with me to receive Christ? They'll pray with you. We have a Bible to give to you. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't own one, today we want to give you one. If you come down and ask any one of these folks down here, they'll give you that Bible. We want to help you. Moms, we really love you. We really love you. We wanted to do anything and everything we could today to express that to you. Make sure that you know that an arm of God has reached to you today. Now, beyond the moms, every person in here, you can use this lesson and this message today. You have an opportunity. Younger, older, doesn't matter how old you are. God has a great plan for you, and it starts right now. All you have to do is reach out to Him. Maybe you're in a mess today. Maybe you're in pain. Maybe things are just in a whirlwind. He'll help you through that today. Benjamin's going to come and close in prayer. If you need prayer before you leave today, these folks are here to pray with you and believe God with you. Okay? Benjamin.
I want to ask y'all to do me a favor. We've talked a lot about compassion and love and loving one another. So I want you all to stand up today. I want you to grab a hand next to you. I don't think anybody today on Mother's Day should be alone. As we talked about, you don't know what the person next to you is going through, what's happening in their life. So I'd ask for everybody to grab hands next to each other and make sure nobody's alone. John, you better do what you're told right now. I'm going to call you out. I want you to hold hands with somebody. Nobody's going to be alone. I want everybody to look across the room and make sure nobody's alone this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, I thank you for every person that's walked in the building today. I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll be with them today. I pray that you'll give them peace, as your word says, that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I pray for every mother here today that you'll bless them and keep them and just give them the greatest Mother's Day that they've ever had. I pray for those that are struggling today that you'll give them peace and love and mercy and just grace, God. And we pray for every family here today. I pray that you'll bless them for their diligence to be in church today. And everybody said today, all together, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great day. If you need prayer, please come down. We want to pray for you. God bless you, moms.